With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah!
Puckle!
Puckle.
And welcome to the 485th episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am here as your host, Trainer Thatch, with my wonderful co-host today. We've got the wonderful, as always, Fluffiest Whimsicott.
Why, thank you, Thatch. Hi, everyone.
And we've also got the pretty average Pimiki.
Hello.
That's
hey.
That's a misnomer. We like Pimiki.
We do.
I went for an average hello.
He's also very tired because it's early in his land.
Very early.
It's early in his land. So, welcome to the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name we came up with in 2007. We talk everything here Pokemon, from the trading card game to the video game to everything in between. And, yeah, it's a good time. I'm having a really good time with life because it's warm outside again. Some days.
Mm.
Not today.
Well.
But some days. I pulled my shorts out of the closet. I went for my morning run on my treadmill. I didn't run outside. I'm waiting to run outside. I want to. I just don't want to do it when it's 30 degrees out in the morning.
Yeah, I know.
I really like running in the morning. It's really nice. Particularly Saturday morning when I'm just like, okay, I don't need to run to like, I don't need to like be done at a certain time to be able to get to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really nice because then I can go for like a longer run because I typically run like 5-ish miles on Saturday and I've been getting my distance up, man. I've been working on it. I want to try to get in shape so like I can just bust out a 10K, you know?
Good job.
So like when somebody's just like, hey, there's a 10K coming up, we should sign up. And I go, that's a terrible decision. And then I do it anyway.
Yeah. But then you finish it and you're really satisfied with yourself.
I like the energy of runs. Like, if you go to, like, a good run, like, the energy is really good. Like, it's different than going, like, if I were to go run, like, a 10K outside by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because you always, there's always, like, people on the street, and I don't know who these people are or why they're doing it. But they're always there to, like, watch you do it, and there's always, like, a band on a corner in the middle of a downtown area while you're running or something. And, like, the energy is just completely different. And, like, I remember one 10K I did. Where I was the only 10K I ever did, and I was running it, and I wasn't like super in shape for it. I probably could have run like a really good 5K that day, but 10K was not in my wheelhouse that day. But I remember I got to like mile like 4 or something like that. For those of you at home, 10Ks are 6.2-ish miles.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to mile 4 and some guy's just like over halfway there and he's got like a bottle of champagne. He's just like passing out to the runners. This is pre-COVID. And this is pre-COVID. So he's just got like a bottle of open champagne. So like I ran up and I drank from the bottle and I kept running.
Wow.
The energy is amazing. I love the energy of like those in-person runs. The one I really liked doing was this 4-miler that we did for Thanksgiving back when we still lived in Columbus. Yeah, this 4-miler on Thanksgiving Day, and you run 4 miles, and at the end of the run, they give you a bottle of wine.
Oh.
Yeah, which is perfectly wonderful. It's Thanksgiving.
I feel like garbage drinking wine after a run. That feels terrible.
Well, you don't do it at 10 a.m., like, when you're done with the run. You wait until later in the day after you've showered.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's like dehydration town.
I thought that was part of the challenge. Finish the run and drink a bottle of wine.
Oh, no. It's not a challenge. It's like a prize.
That makes more sense.
Oh, my goodness.
You get your medal and you get your bottle of wine, you know?
Wow.
It's all, I mean, I'm not like a huge wine drinker. My wife is more of a wine drinker than I am, but I particularly enjoy rosés and like semi-dry whites.
Mm.
There we go. More you know about Thatch. I've delved into my personal life pretty deep here today. this is definitely a Pokemon podcast.
Yeah, it's not like Ruckle, the running underground Champions League.
I know. I talked about it last week too, which makes me feel a little bad. What makes me feel even worse is people looked into that, like the events I did where like I ran up Mount Fuji. People looked into that after the podcast last week.
Yeah. I have seen the Facebook ads for that.
Yeah, there's a lot of Facebook ads, and that's how I found it.
Yeah.
I looked into a lot of them, and the one that I'm using is the only one I like. And, it's called like Conqueror or whatever compared to the other ones, because the other ones all have like shorter races. Like I think most of them max out at like 60 miles or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, oh, you're paying $30 to go run 60 miles. And for me, I can run 60 miles in like 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
And so like, that's nothing. So the other one, the Conqueror one, like they have races that go like 180, 200 miles.
Oh, wow.
And so that lasts me, you know, a couple months. So I can get $30. Yeah. I can get a couple months out of $30.
Yeah, it's more of your money's worth.
Yeah, I would absolutely recommend that. Also, they always have discount codes, so never pay full price. Never pay full price.
Okay. You know, I have this policy that if I see something in a Facebook ad, I immediately think, oh, it might be a scam.
So I thought so too until like I saw it in the ad. I didn't like click on the ad and like bought it from there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I clicked on the ad, saw what it was. Then I went to Google and I looked up to like see if other people
had
done it.
That's the way to do it.
And saw if other people had done it. And because I'm just like you. I'm just like, oh, that could be a scam. And I'm just like, let's make sure that this is a legit thing and not we just paid Facebook a bunch of money to like get somebody to give me $30 to run an imaginary race on an app.
Yeah.
Which I mean, that's still what it is, by the way. It's nothing special. They do send you a pretty cool medal when you're done. I did get my medal. Mm-hmm. And so it's pretty cool. I posted on Discord.
Oh, cool.
It's definitely not $30, but it was definitely, I don't know, like the motivation I got from it compared to like other running races, compared to other things I've used to help me try to run in the past, it was very good.
I mean, that's what you're paying for, like the concept.
Yeah, I'm paying for the motivation for the most part. Mm-mm. You know, I have a reason to run.
Yeah.
I have a reason that I need to go this many miles today because then I can log that many more miles on my race. And that's kind of the whole idea, for at least for me, is like run X number of miles.
That's fun.
But yeah, how about you guys? We've talked a lot about Thatch, and I don't want to be conceited. I want to share the spotlight. Anything interesting going on with you guys?
Yeah, so to go like breaking the fourth wall a tiny bit, I was a few minutes late to the recording of this show because I was several minutes late to my UTC battle with Liger. Sorry again, Liger. My brain is stupid. And I cannot believe I'm saying this, but I won.
Oh, man. I have mine after the show today with Hobie.
Ooh, good luck.
I don't know how it's going to go. Honestly, I'm surprised I made it this far.
He stomped me in Swiss rounds. So good luck. He stomped me.
I'm just surprised I made it this far. So
same. Honestly, I entered thinking, well, it's the UUTC. I need to enter the UUTC.
Yes, like, that was 100% my thought
for me.
100%.
Like I actually made the team, like bred the Pokemon. I brought one over from a previous generation because I needed a certain ability and stuff. I used up all of my battle points to get PP ups, everything. But the team is not exactly great. It's a bit too meta, not enough anti-meta. And Liger actually has pretty much the exact same team, except the two Pokemon that don't match gave him a huge advantage, in my opinion. Because, well, the teams are out, so I can say it. I have Zacian, Rillaboom, Cinderace, and Lapras in common with Liger. But then he has Landorus Therian and Nihiligo, And I have Zapdos, so my rock weakness is even worse.
Oof.
But my sixth Pokemon is Ditto. And that's what saved me today.
Ooh, little Ditto.
Yeah.
Ditto. Oh, Ditto. That's a good time.
It was really intense, a ton of fun. I still cannot believe I pulled it off. Like, I don't know how I did that, but I did, and good game to Liger. It was a really great match.
Yeah, what about you, Mickey? Anything interesting, new, fun?
You know, it's basically the same thing. I got my match with Wreck-It Mike later today. We faced off in the Fall League Championship Finals, so we're immediately rematching again in playoffs. So that's exciting. So I'm sure he's out for vengeance after Fall League. And then that's basically it. I mean, I got some Draft League stuff. Got to play some matches with that. We roped Thatch into that to finish out the season, so that'll be fun to see play out.
Oh, yeah, that happened. Yeah, Mark left me with absolute garbage. Yeah, I'm calling Mark out. I'm calling him out.
I don't think it's garbage.
It's okay. I will say the Pukumuku Corviknight part, very good. I will say that the other parts of it, not so good.
There are some pieces. Yeah, there are some things to be desired, but Pukumuku is a blast. I'm doing an Uber.
No, it's fun. I'm saying it's
fun. And he's leading my team.
I'm just saying, like, let's talk about things that will help me win. And they're the way it was drafted is you have to do damage to end up winning Pokemon. And I don't know that Mark understood it. I love Mark. you have to hurt the other person's Pokemon to win the game.
And you have a Pukumuku.
Yeah, it's a very defensive team. It's a very stally team.
Seth would be proud.
Seth would be proud.
Sort of offense would not be proud.
No, absolutely not. It is a very stally team. I can make it work. I made some adjustments. I'm hoping the adjustments do me well, and I think they will.
Right before you took over the team, Mark did set the record for the longest ever PDL match at like a 215
I believe that.
Turns, 219 turns. I think what it was. Yeah,
I believe this.
So.
Oh my god!
I believe
it was
this.
Brutal. I expect more of that from you because that's how the team plays.
That's how the team plays 1000%. Yeah. No, this week, the only thing I didn't win this week, but I also didn't have my changes.
Yeah.
And it was a very bad matchup roster wise.
Oh, yeah.
It was a very bad matchup, but I only lost 2-0. So that, I felt
and
good
you
about
did
that.
Toxic Stall a Celesteela.
And I did Toxic Stall a Celesteela, which was, I mean, that was the only thing I wanted from that match. That was the only thing I wanted. Yeah. You have to run a lot of shenanigans.
So Puku and
so
Toxic?
It turns out that Pukumuku is a lower tier budget trapper.
Mm-hmm.
Because he gets the move Block.
Yeah.
And so nobody ever uses that move ever. Because Block, why would you use it? You just use Arena Trap or something. And so it's just Arena Trap, the move.
Yeah.
A small little tidbit about Block that not everybody understands about the interaction is that Block does hit through Protect.
Yep.
Oh.
And so when he had the Celesteela, and the goal was just get Pukumuku in. And if he stayed in to like Protect a Scout or Leech Seed or something, Pukumuku would just hit Block. And Celesteela is done. You just click Soak, and then you click Toxic, and then that's game.
Yeah.
Like, Celesteela cannot kill Pukumuku. It's literally impossible.
Wow.
I think max damage that it could have done was with the Air Slash, which would have been 35% max, but that's before Soak.
Wow.
Because Soak just kills your stab.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it makes Soak wonderful. And
that's amazing.
Yeah.
It was fun to watch.
Really, mm-hmm. That was all I hoped for. That was all I wanted out of that match. I could have lost as long as I got to do that. As soon as I got to do that, I'm like, I can lose happy now. I'm perfectly happy.
Yeah. I felt the same way today. Like, I got game one and I thought, well, there's no way I can do that again, but at least I can say I got game one.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I felt. I'm like, you know what? I got what I wanted done. I'm happy with it. So, this is a good place to stop. We're going to kick it on over now to the news. So let's cue that epic music.
Coming to you live from the Lavender Town Radio Tower, this just in.
And welcome to the news. The news has a few things in it, and that's it, because it's just a few things, because welcome to spring. where Pokemon news is light and nothing interesting happens. The next big thing, I think, is Pokemon Snap comes out. We might get a trailer, maybe like one new trailer before it drops.
Maybe.
Like that. That's a big maybe.
Yeah, maybe to remind people that it's coming out.
It's a big maybe. I'm surprised the hype train for that's still not like choo-choo, man. But that's a different story for another day.
Yeah.
I think we talked about this last week.
We did.
Yeah.
TPCI is hosting another Pokemon Team Challenge competition where your local game store can put out a team for a TCG online competition. Registration begins March 26th and qualifiers begin April 3rd. Bracket matches will begin in late June. I like Seth's clarification on this, is that you don't actually have to be at the local game store to do it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's the clarification, because other than that, it feels real bad if you don't make that clarification.
So you just go like to the game store's website, select a location, and join their team.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. It that sounds much better than being like, aha, we must all gather around a laptop within 3 inches of each other to play a Pokemon
TCG. Small little GameStop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, not a GameStop. We're talking local game store, okay?
Last week I was listening and I was like, are they insane? What is going on?
Yeah.
But why?
Yeah, it's not a good idea to go to the game stores and everything. I did go to a local game store last week, but that was for D&D stuff.
Ah, okay. That's fair.
Because I found like this 3D printable model for Strahd, who's a vampire in D&D, for those of you uninitiated. And I tried printing it and then painting it, and it was kind of a pain in the butt, and they just sell like a box of like figures for that campaign.
Oh, well then.
So I just bought the box of figures. And I called it good enough. I called it good enough, and then we don't need to worry about it. So that's something to keep an eye out. But yeah, I did go. It wasn't too bad. I picked up some dice because I you can never have too much dice.
That's good. I agree.
You can never have. I did get for my birthday recently some cool ones made out of tiger's eye.
Ooh.
Yeah, they're better in person than they are online. Like, I thought gemstone dice or semi-precious stone dice were gonna be like just like a waste of money, but they're actually way better in person. They're way better in person.
As long as you're like rolling them on a mat. So they don't chip.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's really the only way to roll it. That's the only way to roll them. I have that table. It'll be fine. All right. Let's move on, though. Let's move on to Ash's Farfetch'd.
Oh, God. Okay. This is the kind of news week we're having. We are telling you that in the anime, Ash's Farfetch'd has evolved into a Sirfetch'd, which actually makes his entire team, bar Pikachu, fully evolved. This is the kind of Newsweek we're having.
He caught most of the stuff fully evolved.
Yes.
He caught most of the stuff.
I think he just evolved his Riolu and his Farfetch'd, and that's it.
That's all he's evolved. Yeah. Because he caught, what does he have? He's got Pikachu, he's got Gengar, he's got Dragonite, he's got
Lucario,
Sirfetch'd now, and then what's the sixth one? Uh-oh.
There's Mr. Mime.
Mr. Mime.
No, there's a seventh one, too. Oh, no, he's got
Dracovish. Dracovish, that's right.
He's got a pretty cool team.
Yeah, his team's really interesting this time around. I like that they're trying to focus him on like the battling aspect a lot versus the you gotta catch them all aspect.
Yeah.
I really like it in terms of that. I haven't caught up on that on the newest batch. I really need to.
I'm so far behind.
I'm trying to save it because we want to do it's the Royal Thatch Wee. wants to do a podcast for Patreon where we like do riff tracks of the episodes, and then like after every few of them we do like one big like or big in quotes we do a larger we do like a podcast where we sit down for 20-40 minutes and talk about the show. That's coming to Patreon at some point. It's on my to-do list right after the YouTube, which is happening, by the way. It's coming back. We're coming back. We'll talk about that later. Yeah. Pokemon Go news. Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Kimiki, tell us all about this.
Yeah, so there's been this ongoing thing where they do a week of some kind of special event stuff going on.
Forever.
Upcoming next week is Weather Week, which is going to run March 24th through the 29th. So it's going to be an increase in Pokemon pertaining to rainy and wind conditions. Notably, it introduces shiny, rainy form, cast form. You know, various 1- and 3-star raids with the windy Pokemon. Tynamo is still one of those things you can get. So Tynamo is kind of hanging around in the game now, so go catch your Tynamos. Otherwise, it's just a lot of various water type Pokemon like Vaporeon or Ducklet, things you've probably gotten 100 of already. And not then there'll be some special timed research for the event.
Oh, I should play. I haven't played in forever. I don't like playing in the winter. I don't like playing in the winter at all. It's just because I want to walk to play Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
I keep my thing tracks my walking, so I get 5K every week easily from my phone, which gives me 20 absolutely. Pokeballs every week, which means I keep having no item inventory, which means I can't spin, so I get no eggs. And without any eggs, like, what are you doing?
You can't get the cool stuff because you can't play the gacha version. I mean, you can't play Pokemon Go. Yeah, it's a wonderful time.
But in case you are not the kind of person who wants to discourage other people from playing mobile games, there's a referral system that is being tested out right now in Australia, hi again, Liger, that allows for players to give codes to new players, which, you were right, doesn't make a lot of sense, or to players that have been inactive for at least 90 days, which is, I think, the real target of this initiative.
Hey, Liger, if you can send me one of those codes, we can do it.
This gives both people tasks to complete, and after 3 days they get rewards, and they can include things like rare candies, mega energy, and stuff like that.
Megas are dumb. Megas in Pokemon Go are dumb.
I have not mega evolved a single Pokemon in Pokemon Go.
Talk about the real travesty of like those videos that came out last June where everybody got really upset about the whole Pokemon Unite thing. And the real travesty is they like flash the Mega Evolution symbol and the Pokemon community instantly all exploded and then all instantly got disappointed when it was followed by Pokemon Go.
Yeah, that was bad.
That's the real travesty of last summer. I don't care what Pokemon Unite's going to be fun. I'm excited for that.
I'll play it for a week.
I will play it probably for more than a week.
I'll play it for a week while everyone's playing, and then the tryhards are really going to rise up, and then I'm not going to be so good anymore, and I'll walk away.
You know what? You're right. The tryhards will show up.
That's what's going to happen.
I will not play it.
I think we'll get meme-y enough if I play with Shamu that it'll be okay. That I'll feel like we're still having fun. All right. So that's like really it for Pokemon news. There is some Puckle news. First of all, if you haven't seen already, if you're involved in the Puckle community, our Prepare for Trouble tournament signups are now open. You can sign up for the PFTT, as we call it, because acronyms are cool.
Yeah.
You can come and sign up for it over on our Discord server. The other thing that's really cool about this one is we're bringing back door prizes for this.
Mm.
And by door prizes, I mean door prize. So if you complete all of your matches in Swiss, so that's 5 matches, you will get entered into a drawing for a copy of New Pokemon Snap. So that's fun. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can get a free copy of New Pokemon Snap as long as you play all of your matches.
Cool.
Really easy.
You can go 0-5 and still win New Pokemon Snap.
And still be the winner, really.
Yeah, and still be the winner in your heart. Yes. come out ahead. But yeah, literally, it's a participation trophy.
Yeah. You'll especially be the winner in our hearts if you use a really stupid team to lose all your matches.
Oh, yeah. I've got some fun stuff planned.
Me too.
The rule set is just VGC, I believe season 9? I don't remember. It's season 8 again. Yep, we're playing season 8. So you get to do the legends, so it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Definitely, it's fun. I think it's more fun than the other meta where it's just Cinderace Rillaboom.
Yeah, it's like the stupid kind of fun.
Yes.
Where, like, you can't really take it so seriously because of all these powerhouses going around, like Zacian and Zygarde and Jigglypuff. So
Jigglypuff!
I've had more fun in that meta than I had in any of the other previous Legendary metas.
Yeah.
And I think it's because they only let you bring one.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that is the balance that type of format needed.
Yes.
Instead of 2, because 2 is just absolutely ridiculous, and that ends up just being like those are the 2 you bring every single time.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's dumb. I don't like it. I like the one where it's just like every team has like this one like beefy powerhouse that you have to take down.
Mm-mm.
You can use a different team each week too. We don't lock you in, so have fun with that.
Yep.
The other thing is YouTube. We finished recording it yesterday. The first couple episodes of our new Soul Silver Puckle Plays Nuzlocke is coming to YouTube soon. So keep an eye out for that. It's either going to be this week or next week. I don't know exactly when. We have to get the edit together. Once we get it edited, it will post it to YouTube and get it going. If you're on Patreon, you'll get it before everybody else.
Is it Chikorita?
No, it's not Chikorita. Thank God.
Oh.
So we got the patrons got to select everything. If you want to be involved in like selections for stuff like this, be a patron on Patreon. They were nice to me. They gave me Totodile.
Oh, how nice.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah, I would have given you Totodile too because I love you.
Yeah, they were nice to me. Totodile absolutely like lost, or Chikorita absolutely lost. 1000%. It was like close. It was close to Cyndaquil. It was close to Cyndaquil was close. It was something like 3 votes away from Totodile.
Okay.
Out of like there were like 50 votes, and then we also raffled off the well, not raffled off. I asked them for suggestions for the rival's name because we can't do Bo twice, right? That's not fun.
Yeah.
So I was just like, you guys tell me who the rival should be, and what ended up winning out of all of those, and I'm still confused by it, by the way, is Bezos.
Oh
my.
Yep, that's the rival's name. I'm very confused. Do not know why, other than maybe he is Lex Luthor. I don't know, but it is sure. Okay. Our rival's name is Bezos. Mm-hmm. And that's the setup for the Puckle Plays Soul Silver Nuzlocke. Check it out. It'll be on YouTube soonish. And come to the Twitch stream to watch the Platinum Nuzlocke. I do lots of Nuzlockes now because people like watching those more than me doing other things.
You get to participate a little more as an audience member because you get to raffle off the naming.
Yeah, I think the participation for the Nuzlocke on Twitch is really good. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
It gets people talking. All right. So on that note, that's going to be it for the news this week. A little bit of a short news segment this week, but we'll have some fun talking later. But we're going to kick it on over then to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge.
Oh, hi, and welcome to the Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz our co-hosts on their insane Pokemon knowledge. I'm Mark, here to explain the rules. Our fabulous co-hosts will work as a team to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions that fans have submitted on the Discord server. Each question is worth 1 point, with Pokedex and multiple answer questions worth more, for a total of 7 points. The hosts can use a free hint at any time. If they get all the answers correct and do not use the hint, they can cash it in for an 8th point.
And welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz. Thank you to Mark for that introduction. We are, of course, going to start with these questions. Whimsicott can win today if she gets, I believe, 5 points.
Ooh.
So P. McGee can be ahead of the crowd.
I've done this 2 times already, so let's make it a third, where I start in the front and then taper off.
You can be at the front of the crowd here, P. McGee. You can do whatever you
want. I'm excited. Let's do it.
You guys can also flop. We don't know. I'm not going to be nice today. I'm just going to pick whatever questions I can.
Okay. That's fair.
All right. This question is from Spike. Which region's trio of starter Pokemon all belong to the Monster Egg group?
Monster Egg Ooh. Group questions? No.
Okay. You wouldn't have liked the other option. Liger picked out the hard ones today, okay?
Okay. Okay.
This one's the easier of the two, believe it or not.
Okay, 12% chance.
I know for sure that Bulbasaur is in the monster one. Probably Charmander too. I don't think Squirtle is because there are 7 billion water ones.
Yeah, there's like 3 water groups. There's a good chance Squirtle's not.
I think what we need to find is the water starter that is in the monster egg group.
I mean, Totodile seems like it could be.
It could be. So I don't think it's Froakie.
No, I don't think it's Piplup.
I don't think it's Popplio.
No.
Because there's a fairy group as well. Oshawott is not a reptile.
Hmm.
And the monster egg group, so you might be in the field one, though. Hmm.
And I don't think it's going to be Sobble either.
Mudkip, though.
Mudkip I'm not sure about.
I think our best options are Squirtle and Mudkip, because I see Cyndaquil as being in the field, not the monster.
That's fair.
I think, honestly, but Torchic.
I mean, I could see Gen 1 just because it's Gen 1.
Yeah, same.
Otherwise, I don't really know. I mean, I vaguely think it could be Gen 2, but I take your point on Cyndaquil. But I'm not confident in my answer, so I'd rather go with yours.
Yeah, I kind of like Gen 1 because the egg groups for Gen 1 would have had to be applied retroactively in Gen 2, and they might have wanted them to be compatible with a lot of the other Mons.
Yeah, I can buy into that.
Kanto is your final answer?
Let's do yeah. it.
Kanto is correct.
Yes.
There are two other regions where all of the starters can be in one egg group. First one being Gen 5 in Unova. All of them are actually in the Field A group. Same with Galar, mm-hmm. actually. All of those starters are also in the Field A group.
That makes sense in both those cases.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun fact. That is one for one. You wouldn't have liked the other question whatsoever. I don't think I don't know the answer to that one, and I would not be able to answer it. So, all right. The next question is going to be from Poliwoe. What two evolutionary lines that are normally hit by Sandstorm can get the ability Sand Veil?
Oh God.
If you can just name one, I'll give you the point.
doesn't Cacnea get Sand Veil?
It might get it. Another one I can think of is Heliolisk. He gets all of the weather abilities. He has solar power. He has dry skin.
Yeah, Sandville. Yeah. You're right on that.
Do you want to lock in Heliolisk?
Yeah, let's do that.
Heliolisk and Cacnea are both correct.
Yeah.
Look at us.
Those are the answers. The ability does also grant them immunity to Sandstorm damage as well. For those of you at home. But yes, it is those two exactly. Cacnea is not a real Pokemon anymore, though, so it's fine.
Yeah, aww. It's fake.
All right, so you guys are 2 for 2. Your next question is your Pokedex entry question. I'm going to read you a Pokedex entry. If you ride the Struggle Bus too hard, you get the second entry. 2 points for the first entry, 1 point after the first entry, 0 points when you get it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
This one is going to be from Coil Builder. Its X entry states... It makes fur balls that crackle with static electricity. It stores them like berries in tree holes. Who's that Pokemon?
Ooh.
Dedenne?
Dedenne came to mind immediately because it's a Pokemon X entry. It's obviously a Pikachu clone.
Yeah.
But since it says tree holes, maybe Pachirisu? Because squirrels in trees?
Oh, that's also possible. I feel like it's a Pika clone. It's just a matter of which. But the tree comment makes sense.
Yeah.
I was just thinking stuff. Or does Patrick used to have some kind of like stuffed cheeks ability or cheek pouch or something?
I don't know, actually.
Because that was my only reason for Dedenne, is because Dedenne has like cheek pouch ability or something like that.
Yeah. But then it would store stuff in its cheeks, not store stuff in a tree. I don't know.
Yeah. No, yeah. I'll side with you on this. You were correct on the first question, so I'm going to ride that
You
train.
Were correct on the second one, too. I like Pachirisu because of the tree thing.
Pachirisu, then. I like it.
Pachirisu is correct.
Woo! Yes.
That's 4 for 3. The other entry we had was from Heart Gold. It's one of the kinds of Pokemon with electric cheek pouches. It shoots charges from its tail.
Yeah.
All right. Your next one is your multiple choice question. You only get 2 points for this one maximum. And I have one that has 3 answers, so I'll give you a point for each answer. You get 1 wrong guess, and then we're done.
Okay.
Cool. You get to lock in every answer. And this one is going to be from Shark Finnegan. What 3 TMs can you receive from a poison type gym leader?
Ooh.
All right. I feel like Toxic's a fake out almost. But I'm
not
sure.
Yeah, because so the poison type gym leaders are Koga, Janine, Rock Girl from Gen 5. What's
Roxanne.
Her name? Roxanne, thank you.
No, just Roxy. Roxanne's the one from Gen 5.
Yeah,
why are there two?
Right. Because localization.
Roxanne's the name of a rock song.
You don't have to. Oh, sorry. I will refrain from saying it for now. So there are not 7 billion poison type moves that are also TMs.
You don't get a poison move from Koga in Gen 1, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure it's not a poison move. I just can't remember what it is. It's not minimize. It's something like... It's a status move of some kind, but I don't think it was a poison move. I just can't remember what it was called. We may need to use the hints because I don't think it's toxic for any of these. I mean, one of them could be Sludge Bomb for like Janine, but I'm not confident on that either.
Yeah, I'm not confident.
Man, I don't even know what kind of hint to give you if you use the hint. Let's find out.
Okay.
Are you going to use the hint or no?
Yeah, I think we're struggling. We should.
Okay, so I don't know how much this is going to help you. You got all the gym leaders, right? You got Koga, you got Janine, and you got Roxy.
Mm-hmm.
And so Janine is in two generations. Well, I guess Koga is several. But Janine changes when in Gen 4, mm-hmm. obviously, back in Gen 4. It changes from its Gen 2 to Gen 4 use. TMs change. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the TM for that generation, and I'm going to give you the TM number. I don't know if that'll help you or not. It would help me with at least one of them.
Mm.
All right. So in Gen 1 and 2, Janine and Koga both give you the same move. And it is, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it is TM06 in Gen 1 and in Gen 2. Mm. It's the same TM throughout many generations until, I believe, Generation 8.
Yeah.
It is TM84 in Generation 4 that you could also receive.
Cool.
And the last one is TM9 in Generation 5.
Okay.
So I might be dumb, and I think it might be toxic, but I'll leave that to you.
I mean,
you do have to lock these in for me to verify. We do have to lock obviously. This in. You get one wrong, you get one strike, and then you can keep going. But after strike two, you're done.
Okay, so I think we try to lock in toxic, and if it's it's wrong. But wait, we get one wrong, and then we can't keep answering, right?
Yes. Okay.
Then toxic.
Toxic is correct. That is one of them.
Okay.
Yeah, you get that one in Gen 1 and Gen 2 from COVID.
Yeah, I was just dumb. Cool. I feel like it could be Sludge Bomb for Gen 4.
I don't know if it's Sludge Bomb in Gen 4, but it could be because you essentially get it post-game.
Yeah, it's a post-game TM. And
so
the fact that I know these TM numbers hurts my soul.
Yeah, I don't know any TM numbers. So that
I know all these TM numbers that you're saying, and I'm like, I didn't say that one.
For some reason, something in my brain is telling me that the Gen 5 one is Venoshock.
You know what? That sounds super accurate. Because that would be a Gen 5 move. You only face her as a second gym leader, so it wouldn't be an overpowered move.
Exactly.
And so Venoshock sounds much more accurate. Which one do you want to lock in first so you can change if we need to think about it more?
Okay, let's lock down your Sludge Bomb.
Sludge Bomb is incorrect.
See, okay. I'm not very good at this one.
That's TM36.
Oh, okay. I thought that was not introduced till Gen 4.
I don't know TM numbers ever.
They change from generation to generation, but like sometimes, some of them stay the same. Like Earthquake's always TM26.
Yeah, that's the only one I know.
Toxic Forever was TM6.
Okay. So do we lock in Venoshock?
I like that. It makes sense game-wise that it would be Venoshock.
Yeah.
Being both a Generation 5 move and after the second gym leader.
Okay. Then we are locking that in.
Venoshock is correct. You get that one from Roxy. That gives you the maximum points for the question. So to save us some time.
Yeah.
The answer is that you get Poison Jab from Janine in Gen 4.
Oh, that's the Gen 4 move I forgot about.
So you guys are, it crosses the finish line for Whimsicott.
Oh, that does.
Yeah, that gives you, I believe, 5 for 4. No, or no, 6 for 4. Six for four.
We
can go for 7 points here. No, you don't have a chance for 8. You just use the hint.
Oh, shoot. No. 7 points.
Well,
I'll
can give
seven.
You 7. 7 is still good, McGee.
I need a huge lead because I'm going to lose it by, like, week 2.
All right. So the next one is going to be your base stat question, as always. And this one is going to come to you from MOMO. What is the fastest Pokemon with a regional form?
With a regional form. Okay.
Wait, is the fastest form the regional one or not?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
I'm just thinking one's fast off the top of my head. Alolan Dugtrio obviously comes to mind.
How much is that one?
It's...
Oh, we're dumb. We're dumb. Alolan Zapdos exists.
That's 100.
It's only 100 still. Okay.
Yeah. Dugtrio is higher than that.
Dugtrio is how much, did you say?
I think it's 110, I think. If I can remember right.
Ninetales is 109.
Who else is from Galar? Not Darmanitan.
Technically Lanoon, I think that's still 100 or 95 or something like that. or maybe even less.
That's accurate.
And yeah, Weezing slow. How fast is Rapidash?
Rapidash is 105, I believe.
Yes, that sounds correct.
I think that's right. Darkrai might even be higher than 110. I just know it's at least over 100.
Yeah.
Because it's a fast trapper.
Can't think of anything faster. Do you want to go with Darkrai? I like
that's
it.
That's fine. I feel like I'm missing something, but I can't think of it right now, so I'm good with Darkrai.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Darkrai is unfortunately incorrect.
Oh.
The answer is Galarian Darmanitan in Zen mode.
Oh,
that's
base 135.
I forgot
that's
about
so
him.
That's so cheeky, though. Zen mode.
The next fastest is Cantonian Darkrai at 120, and then followed up by both Persians at 115. But you guys got six.
Yeah.
That ends it. Whimsicott wins. Yay.
Yay.
And then P. McGee, you are in the lead right now with 6 points.
For the third time, I've started with the lead. I cannot wait to lose it.
What an assist. Maybe we get you a trophy for like the most assists or something. I'll send it to you. The most assists in Puckle's trivia segment, P. McGee. all right. So that's where we're going to end it. If you want more Puckle Poke Quiz, you can always, as always, just wait till next week. Or you can go over to Puckle Plus, where we've always dropped just like a compilation every month. On that note, though, we're going to take a short break and hit you guys up with the topic. Hey, guys, make sure to check out the Puckle YouTube this week and see if you can catch our Soul Silver Puckle Plays Nuzlocke, where we're going to play Soul Silver and we're going to Nuzlocke it, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So make sure you head on over to youtube.com/PucklePodcast. And welcome to the topic. Our topic today is another Puckle What If. You know what sucks is like I chose that name and then I realized they're coming out with a series of that for Marvel. Yeah, right? Isn't that disappointing?
I don't pay attention to Marvel anymore after they did Miss So Dirty with Endgame.
Oh, no. Oh my gosh. But did you not watch WandaVision?
No.
Oh my gosh. But WandaVision was good.
I've been hearing that about WandaVision.
It was good. I would recommend WandaVision.
I've heard good and bad things about it.
I watched the first episode of Falcon and the Winter Soldier yesterday. That was okay. Like, that's like, oh yes, this is just going to be a 6-episode Marvel movie. And WandaVision wasn't that. WandaVision wasn't just like a 9-episode Marvel movie. It was a thing of its own. And I would recommend it.
Interesting.
It was different. We're here to talk about Pokemon What If. So you get to choose what... We get little topic ideas all the time in our heads suggested to us. Things that just won't span like 20 minutes of discussion. Like, should Ash evolve as Pikachu? No, we're not going to talk about that. That's like the number one thing we get requested, by the way, is to discuss Ash's Pikachu and whether or not it should evolve.
What?
I don't know what kind of discussion you expect us to have with that, but it's not a very long one. Somebody thought it might need to be a 3-part episode.
It's a quick no. It's not worth it.
From a marketing standpoint, no. From a story standpoint, probably still no. And there's your answer. Okay, we discussed it. But we get to talk about little things. I know Whimsicott had something small that she had brought up, and I was just like, this is perfect. Let's do a what if, and let's just throw a couple things out there and see if we get anything cool. Without further ado, tell us.
I guess you could call it a what if, but it's actually a concern. I assume that in the world of Pokemon, in the video games, in-game mechanics should apply. So, for example, when you play Gen 3, Kyogre and Groudon can mess up the world because they have the Drizzle and Drought abilities. Which makes for a pretty good story. I like it. But then nowadays, Pelipper has Drizzle. How does life work in Hoenn? A Pelipper flies over your house and it's raining and then 15 minutes what?
Okay. So I've got two answers for you. I got two. And maybe this makes it too short, and I hope not. But I've got two answers, and feel free to disagree with me. Because I thought about this when you mentioned it.
Okay.
One, I imagine different Pokemon can have the same ability, but to different strengths.
Well, that's fair, because legendaries.
Yeah, so I would imagine one that Kyogre and Groudon both have like insane like their Drought and Drizzle is worse than normal Drought and Drizzle.
Yeah,
which is just something to kind of like think about in that regard. Just normal Drought and Drizzle, So like those are pretty strong because even especially in Emerald, like if you play Emerald, there's like the post game Kyogre and Groudon, which is really cool, by the way. And they really need to like really I miss third versions that used to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
that's another discussion for another day. I think that's really an interesting concept in and of itself. I think they kind of retconned Kyogre and Groudon to a different extent when they did when they got their primals and they had like different like they don't have Drizzle and Drought anymore. They had whatever their super
desolate
awesome
land and
desolate land and never ending rain. Just like I think of that kind of stuff as well. They kind of retconned it, but I imagine different Pokemon have different abilities. So like maybe because a Pokemon battlefield isn't that large, so maybe Pelipper has Drizzle, but maybe it's not more than like a 5 foot radius, right?
That's still like that's what I meant. Like obviously. Like, Pelipper doesn't affect the weather of the entire Hoenn region, but you're in your garden, you're tanning, and then a Pelipper, like, flies over your house, and it rains for 10 minutes, and then it's dry again. It's super annoying.
I can buy into this. Imagine Mr. Briny trying to sail if he evolved his Wingull. It'd be hard if everything was just, like, raging storms.
Yeah.
Okay, so other thing to think about as well is that these abilities don't need to be, like, super magical things that happen all the time. Like, maybe in the case of Kyogre and Groudon, they are. But maybe, like, maybe you're getting Drizzle from Pelipper because it's just, like, constantly wet and dripping water. I don't know. Like,
that's so much worse.
I'm just throwing it out there. I mean, not all of Pelipper have Drizzle either.
In battle, it rains because you take your Pelipper out of the Pokeball and you shake it real hard over your head. Like,
well, no, he's shaking himself very hard over your head.
Okay, no, I'm gonna fix this idea of yours. He's not wet. It's just that the abilities only activate when the Pokemon get worked up for the battles.
Yeah, that's could also be very true. I agree with that. Drizzle's only on three Pokemon anyway. We're worried about like Drizzle and snow warning, all this other stuff. I imagine, like, snow warning happens because, like, Obama Snow comes out and, like, blows snow all over the place when it comes out, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but see, those are Pokemon. Like, I didn't worry about snow warning or, like, drought on Torkoal because those Pokemon already live
they're just
in
hot,
a place.
Right? Well, they're just hot.
You know, that weather just applies. Whereas Pelipper is flying around all over Hoenn.
I guess Pelipper is, like, the only question mark then.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be my answer. It's just Pelipper because. It's Pelipper.
Stupid toilet bird ruining everyone's day.
Maybe Altaria follows it, though, and then it's all good.
Oh, there you
go. There's the answer. We fixed it.
There we go. Altaria just follows the Pelipper around.
McGee fixed it. There you go. That's not a bad idea. That's not bad. I don't know. I haven't thought about too many things. Like, I like the Pokemon world aspect, just like thinking about how the Pokemon world works.
Mm-mm.
I want to know what happens to trainers. After, like, if they don't become successful.
Ooh.
I feel like you have Pokemon trainers, like you have your 10-year-old, 13-year-old, however many years old Pokemon trainer, they get their first Pokemon, and it's kind of like, hey, let's see if this works out for you as a profession type deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, you can't all, not everybody can have the same success rate, right? There can only be one champion.
Yeah, I think what happens is, very sadly, the same thing that happens with kids who like want to be artists, like most of them get told, okay, but now get a real job, which is very sad.
That is very sad. Oh, sad.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't disagree with that. I would imagine Pokemon training takes more skill than, I would imagine Pokemon training takes less skill, I would say, than art. That's the way I'll put it.
Less skill. But it's a
in
more
fine motor controls.
Time commitment.
Yes. It's like, I the way I like to imagine it is it's like training a dog.
Exactly. But you have six of them. And they all have different needs.
And they're also magical.
Yeah.
And they, some of them shoot sparks. Some of them just like have endless supplies of water. Others can burn down villages. You know, it's whatever. How are they not in constant terror?
Yeah. Most Pokemon behave as if they are a bit smarter than the average dog. But some of them don't.
Yes. So. All of the above. I would say that the other thing to think about that I've been thinking about recently, and this is brought on more because Lydia and I did that first episode of the Nuzlocke the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about it, I'm just like, they always get scared that you like go out in the grass, like right outside of your town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they're just like, we need to study these creatures. And it's just like, you haven't studied them. They're literally right here. Why do we not know about them? I want to know also, what's going on.
It, also, they're usually Rattata. So yeah. Can't we just kick it and keep going?
And run?
If we had to.
Did you see the first episode of the Pokemon anime where they just like hit a Spearow and then things got bad real fast? They escalated pretty quickly.
I forgot about that.
Things escalate pretty quickly when you do things like that. Also, Route 1 Spearow.
Imagine how big a Rattata is. It's not like 3 inches long. It's,
no,
I don't
not.
Remember how tall it is.
I think it's about a foot.
It's big.
I think it's about a foot.
Okay. Imagine a foot-long rat coming at you. You would run.
I would run right now. It is 1 foot, according to the Pokedex, yes. 7 pounds. 7.7 pounds.
Gosh.
God, could you imagine that rat? If that rat was in my house, I wouldn't live here.
Exactly. we think, oh, it's a little mouse Pokemon. It's not the size of a mouse. It's the size of a dog.
Oh, more like a cat. It's more the size of a cat.
Yeah, a small dog, but still.
I would say, if your cat's bigger than your dog, is it really a dog? That is first question.
My boyfriend would 100% agree with you.
Yeah.
He ascribes to the Ron Swanson school of animal thoughts.
That's kind of my thought process. If my cat can beat up the dog, well, okay, to be fair, my cat does beat up the 40-pound dog right now, but that's a different story.
But she's still young.
But like if my cat can like physically like dominate a dog, is it a dog? I don't know. This rat is the size of my cat, so I'd be like, is my cat a cat at this point? If that's the mouse, I just gotta chase.
It's mostly like you look at the proportions. Like you look
also,
at
it's purple.
The
it's unnaturally purple. Like
I mean, that's just an on argument. You're in a world with tiny fire breathing lizards, and you're worried about the fur color on a rat.
Yep, I'd be terrified. I would just be absolutely terrified. Purple rat.
Yeah. I think it would get me because purple is cuter than like gray or brown. So I would like, oh, it's so cute, and I would chomp my hand off.
Yeah, that absolutely, absolutely. I don't know. It's just something to think about. Pokemon sizes don't make sense in general, I think.
Oh, they don't.
Could you imagine
eradicating that?
Yeah, could you imagine Eradicate in your house? Like you don't have like a Rattata problem. You have like a Eradicate problem. That's a 2 foot 2 foot 4 inch rat in your house.
I am out of there
with like a 1 foot long overbite.
Yeah, it's like it's a giant rat. Like I mean, like okay, this is your house now, I guess.
Yeah, I mean,
how are people functioning in this world?
I don't know, but maybe that's why there's such a strong divide between inside the town and outside the town. The towns
absolutely
are Pokemon proofed. Like,
yeah, absolutely. I imagine it'll be something similar, and this is a good tie-in, I guess, like Pokemon Legends, you're just in like that one hub town.
Yeah.
And it's got, I mean, we've seen in the trailers, like it's got the walls and everything. And like, it's probably to protect yourselves from Pokemon attacking you.
Yeah.
Like, they're probably vicious.
Sense. They're defending their territory. They're confused. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And we can get into larger political issues there, but that's a different story for a different day.
I was just making a point about animals, not about people.
It has nothing to do with people. It has to do with the potential for another pandemic. But that's a different story for a different day.
Yeah, please.
Yeah. Oh, right. I don't know. McGee, are there any things that you could think of that you're just like, what if this happened? What if that happened?
You know? Oh, what was it? Oh, yeah. I was thinking about the Kalos region. Like, what if we could actually explore the power plant like they kind of hinted at instead of that tiny little corridor we get? There's like a whole side that looked like it was going to be cool to explore.
Man,
and it was
if you
nothing.
Want to talk about that, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like ever since Gen 6, and like as much I like X and Y, because I think X and Y fits in the format that it's in, like which is the 3DS. Yeah. But it, I mean, if you were to just make what current Kalos is like a Switch game, I'd be like, this is disappointing.
Yeah.
A bit. Yeah.
I think there is something that we've lost, like in the historical context of Pokemon. Like Pokemon has always been a handheld game, which handheld games have never been held to the same standard as console games. And then we made that jump to Swish, and then like not the royal we in the community just like jumped on it. And we're just like, what is this? And the answer is, this is a Pokemon game.
This is what it looks like when you take it outside the context of a 3DS or a handheld.
And so, I would argue that a lot of things, once we made the jump to 3D, they just, maybe this isn't, I don't want to like say like Game Freak's bad at it, but I don't think Game Freak really thought about how to flesh out a 3D world. They were more caught because they never had to with the pixels. Like they just never had to.
Once something is on the map and you think, oh, okay, I can't go in there. But in a 3D world where you have like a different view and different camera angles, it's much more evident how stupid that is. You can't just go around and go from the other side, you know?
In like up to Gen 4. Like, if there was a house that they just didn't want you to go into, they just didn't put a door on it. Like, that's all they just did.
Yeah.
And that's all they did. And we were all perfectly okay with this.
Yeah, we never thought twice about it.
We were all perfectly okay.
And it's a lot easier to make you buy, oh, I can't pass through here because there's a bunch of, like, Psyducks blocking the way when your sprite and the Psyduck sprite are the same size. But when you have a 3D character, you're probably like, why can't I just step over the Psyducks? What is happening?
When it comes to Kalos, I don't know. Like, I'm genuinely worried if they were to do like a Kalos remake in the style of Sword and Shield. And it looks like that's never going to happen anyway, given how BDSP exists. And I'm okay with that, by the way. I'm okay with that because I don't think you can take an old Pokemon game and port it into even like the Gen 7 style very well. I think Gen 6 was the last style because that was the last one with grid-based movement.
But it's not just that, in my opinion. Like, if you look at the Kalos region, which is a perfect example of this, it has a very varied landscape.
Yes.
Like, this route has a swamp. This route has autumn leaves all year round for some reason. This route is on the sea. This route is, so on and so on and so on. If it's not, like, it's very easy when you're just going through that route in a, like, tiny game on a tiny screen to not think, oh, just a few steps over, there's a route that's completely different. Like, the world is not built to be coherent with itself because there was no need to. But now
the
when you
camera
have
angles in
world,
X and Y are also very specifically chosen.
Yes.
I think that's something to consider as well. They're very specifically chosen.
Yes. I mean, I've always what is it? X and Y always has like a special place in my heart. Like, I thought it was just like a very pleasant region to play through.
Oh, it is. Yes. It absolutely, I think X and Y are my favorite games to play.
Same.
And there's such a limited amount of like cutscenes and like forcible stops. Like, cause you go to Gen 7 and it's brutal.
They did cutscenes absolutely correct in X and Y because they're short, sweet, and to the point.
Yeah. Like, nothing's ever happening in that game. So you're just kind of like moseying along, just having a good time. And it's actually very pleasant. Gen 5 had a story and that was fine. But Gen 7, it was like, here, let's stop you every three steps to tell you the next thing and then show you exactly where to go.
Well, I think that's just a problem with the style of, I don't know if it's Junichi Masuda like forcing it onto Omori or if it's Omori style. Like, when Omori is directed both Sun and Moon and Sword and Shield, and those games, in terms of how they play, are incredibly similar.
Yeah.
Because you've got like, hey, go here, go here, go here, fetch quest, fetch quest, fetch quest.
Yeah.
They happen in both games. There's four islands. I don't care what anybody says. Galar has four islands. And I think before the wild area was a concept, I think it was a late development concept or a later in development concept. I believe that you were intended to just go from island to island on trains instead of by a boat.
Yeah. Yeah, I can buy that.
I absolutely believe this in the bottom of my heart. I don't know if it's just like his style, but X and Y were like, I've talked about it with people on the Discord. And the way I think the best definition I heard was from Osh. He said that X and Y were the games that felt the most just like an adventure. Like, you're out on your Pokemon adventure. And I think that is a great way to frame X and Y. They are 100% the games that feel like you are exploring and you're on this Pokemon adventure by yourself.
Even the mapping for it really was nice too, because like, so Lumiose was kind of like your center point city, so you'd work towards Lumiose and you work all the way to an outskirt and then slowly whoop your way back to Lumiose and then work your way to a new outskirt to like the north and then slowly work your way back to Lumiose and then keep doing that in and out strat. And so it just became like, here's my center point, let me go out and explore this huge area and then get a whole new section of Lumiose to go explore. And so it was a it was all laid out really nicely for like an adventure feel, I thought.
It was done really well, and I think it was. They were also the first games in a very long time that gave you a bajillion Pokemon on a route.
Yeah.
If you look at Diamond and Pearl, the routes aren't that varied.
No. I thought Black 2, White 2, though.
Like, there are maybe like four or five Pokemon. Black 2, White 2 is okay. It's better. But if you look at Kalos, there are routes where there's enormous. Like 10, 11 Pokemon.
Yeah.
Which makes Nuzlocking very fun.
Exactly. You can Nuzlocke that like 10 times and still have fun.
Honestly, one of the things I find as I get older and I play more Pokemon that I really enjoy is I just like completing the Pokedex. And that means that like I can spend 30 minutes on Route 1 trying to collect every Pokemon that I can catch on Route 1. That's fun for me now. Like, I really enjoy that feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm all for like a bajillion Pokemon.
It's better. Okay, so I guess you're right. Gen 5, like there's the there's like three Pokemon in Chargestone Cave, and then you're spending an hour trying to find the one Tynamo encounter.
Yeah,
because it's got like a 3% encounter rate.
I'm also a fan of 1% encounter rates, by the way.
Me too. They're frustrating, but when you get them,
you feel good. I like it. I like it, and I will not get rid of it. But continue, Mickey. I'm sorry.
No, I was saying I like low encounter rates, but when there's only like four things to run into, and the one of those things is like. You have like a 5% chance or less of seeing it gets very frustrating because you keep seeing the other three things, only those three things.
And oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when there's like 10 or 11 things you can run into, then like, you know, perfectly fine. You always feel like you're seeing something different every encounter. It's not just the same three things in a circle for an hour until you find the one low encounter.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, it's I really enjoy X and Y, though, for what they are. Like, I think in terms of best vanilla Pokemon game, X and Y by far.
I think both you and I, ever since the game came out, have been like selling that to people who want to get back into Pokemon as start from there.
Oh, I would. Like, so, if you're just like, I want to, because you also have Mega Evolution at this point, which is apparently not around anymore for whatever reason.
Gosh, don't mention it.
So I guess I'll rephrase my initial question. What if we had gotten Pokemon Z? I guess is the way I should have phrased that. Because it, like, would they have done more justice to Kalos by giving us a couple of additional areas? We never really got to see Southern Kalos. You know, there's just the one.
I feel like because it's something we never got, it's something that people are going to try to, like, grandiose. And honestly, my answer is we get the Zygarde cells.
Exactly.
And we get, I don't know, like, after seeing Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, my hopes aren't high that Z would have been any better.
I'm not sure if I'm not sure if we would have gotten Black 2, White 2, or we would have gotten Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon. Like,
it's actually, it would have been two versions. We know this from the coding.
Yes, that's true.
So
XZ and YZ. I don't know what they would have done to make them different, other than like, here's your. I wonder if like Zygarde, like the non-creativity they had with Zygarde, was the reason that got stopped as well.
No, I think it was a timing issue.
I think a lot of it was timing issue. Like, hey, we want a new generation for 20th anniversary, which I think is dumb, first of all. But that's another thing for another day. Don't do that. Don't do that. Please don't make. They did a really good job this year. They did a really good job this year, actually. I'm really proud of them.
They did an incredible job. But honestly, I think if you do it right, your third version can absolutely sell. Like, if you make a Pokemon Platinum.
Yes.
A great way to do an anniversary.
I think Platinum, I agree with you. They're obviously done with third versions, right? They said pretty much, hey, we want to go to this DLC model, which I support 1,000%.
Same.
Yeah, great model.
I honestly think they should keep doing it, especially now that these Gen 4 remakes aren't really...
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to say they're not Pokemon games, but they don't feel...
They're not main series games.
They're not intended to succeed,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, succeed, Sword and
they
Shield, right?
They are meant to succeed, yeah, exactly. You meant succeed, as in, they're not auras, yes.
No, they're not auras.
They're not auras. They're not Heart Gold, Soul Silver. They're not meant to replace
to
and
be
become the
main
new standard.
Game. Exactly. They're not meant to be the main game you're on.
I hope they don't try that, but we'll see.
Yeah.
They won't, because it's not theirs. It's not a game.
This is true.
You say this, but like all the rules have been like off the table since like 2013. And and I have no idea what's happening anymore. So they can choose to do whatever they want to do. And
fair.
I don't know. They could very well just be like, hey, by the way, this is what we're going to use for VGC next year. And I hope they don't. I like, in a perfect world, what they do is they go, hey, these Pokemon are now usable in Swish. Enjoy your new meta. And that's what I want in my heart of hearts, because they're obviously working in the battle engine Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't think that's going to happen, unfortunately. Mickey, if it does, I'll be so happy. I will eat that plush with a smile on my face. Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. But if it does, I'll be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
I'll keep my small amount of optimism for now. I need something to hold on to for this year. Otherwise, competitive is just going to be so boring if there's nothing to look forward to. Oh,
competitive is going to be really boring if they don't do that. I kind of get what they're trying to go for now, because they made that comment about like Pokemon Home being like the hub and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know but if I said this on the show.
You don't battle Pokemon Home.
No. So they want it to be the home for like hub for your Pokemon. Like, hey, I went on this adventure. I put this Pokemon there. Yeah, I agree with you. And I think you are forgetting that TPCI, possibly more Game Freak than TPCI, don't really give about fan-made competitive.
Yeah, but...
they're poop heads for not trying to embrace that kind of love in the community, because it's a pretty big part of the community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even if you don't embrace, like, oh, you 6v6 singles, if you bring VGC to BDSB...
oh, that's going to be a nightmare. Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's a nightmare. Absolutely. I do not disagree with you. I do not disagree. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I'm not going to hold my breath too much. We'll see how it goes, though. I don't see a reason why they couldn't just put the Pokemon from Swish into BDSP. It's not like there's following Pokemon or anything. You just have Pokemon in your party.
Yeah.
And you have boxes. And I don't see why there's a reason you couldn't do that.
But what I really want is the opposite. Because then you can still, like, battle with your customized trainer.
Yeah, no. I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. We'll see. I mean, time will tell. Let's not get too sad.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not like, particularly, like, upset about any of these decisions at this point. I guess maybe because I'm numb to it. I've also accepted my fate. We'll see how it goes. I think this is a good place to wrap it up, though. So we're gonna call it quits, and then we're gonna kick it on over to the Pokemon of the episode. We will catch you guys on the flip-flop.
Poke of the episode.
And welcome to the Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number... Thatch had it pulled up and then minimized it. National Dex number 644, Zekrom, the deep black Pokemon.
Its Pokemon Black Pokedex entry says, concealing itself in lightning clouds, it flies throughout the Unova region. It creates electricity in its tail. How does it hide? I know clouds are huge, but this is also huge.
How huge is Zekrom? He's only 9 feet tall. Nine and a half feet tall. That's not that bad. I would expect bigger.
A 9-foot creature flying in the sky. I feel like it would be pretty visible.
Zekrom's probably the coolest legendary, by the way, in terms of design.
Excuse me.
Yep. I will.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No. Zekrom's the coolest.
No.
Determined. Determined. You heard it here first, folks. You heard it here first. Zekrom, definitively the coolest legendary of all time. All right. So, I mean, Zekrom, like every other legendary, is good because they're legendaries.
It's got, like, no bad stat.
Yeah, like, its worst stat is its speed at a base 90, and its attack is base 150, its special attack is base 120, HP of 100, defense of 120, special defense 100. So it's good, and he's a dragon electric type, which are both two good types.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, there you go. Like, there's nothing bad. He's got a decent enough move pool where it's buried, and he's good.
He got access to Dual Wingbeat, which is very important for the Dynamax meta.
Yes, it is. Dual Wingbeat is a cool move. I like the moves they added in Isle of Armor. Tell me, like, one bad move that came out of Isle of Armor. I can't think of one.
Misty Explosion.
Okay, there it is. But outside of that, like, they're pretty cool.
Yeah, most of them are pretty cool attacks.
Like, I would say more so than usual. Like, I'll take Karate Chop not existing for Burning Jealousy to exist.
I mean...
yes.
Flip Turn, Triple Axel,
Scorching Sand,
Steamroller—they're all amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Coaching.
Mm-hmm. Coaching is really good.
For the two mons that get it.
Yes.
That can actually use it.
Yes.
That's the real problem.
But we do have a Zekrom team today.
Yeah.
In Battle Stadium singles. So I don't know. Who's got the Zekrom?
I do. I'll lead us off.
There you go.
But I'm not going to lead off with Zekrom. I'm going to actually lead off with the most likely lead on your team, which is Tapu Koko with an eject button. Pretty bulky set. 236 HP, 84 special defense, 188 speed, timid nature. It definitely is meant to outspeed a base point. I just don't remember with one off the top of my head. Nature's Madness, Taunt, and then some screen setting. So basically, Koko comes in, probably sets the screen it wants to set, unless it needs to taunt something, and then it gets bopped out so that you can send in Zekrom with a weakness policy. 252 attack, 252 speed, Jolly Nature, Dragon Dance to go and fix that 90 speed stat. Outrage, because you get a Dynamax, so who cares? Bolt Strike, because it's a great attack. And then Dual Wing Beat, so you can continue to go faster. That's basically how you win. You let Koko come in. You set up the screen you need to set up. You bring in Zekrom. He takes a very low-powered, super effective attack, and he sweeps. Mm-hmm. But in case that doesn't work, we have four more members.
That speed stat is to outspeed Naganadel.
Naganadel.
Okay. Yep. But if you thought that wasn't electric knock enough, or that wasn't speedy enough, we've got an Alolan Raichu for you. It's got Surge Surfer, it's got Life Orb, it's got a Modest Nature, max special attack, max speed, 4 defense, 0 attack IVs because, you know, it's still a thing, foul play. It's got Rising Voltage, Psyshock, Surf, and Nasty Blot.
Is there a foul play that doesn't KO it with 0 attack IVs? this is a genuine question I have. I'm going to find out here in a second.
Well, it does have a pretty sucky attack stat. So
I believe this, yes.
It might survive. It's a pretty standard little Raichu, I think. If you have time to set Nasty Plot because of the screens, go for it. You're going to absolutely destroy everything. If you can't, you can clean up at least.
Turns out that even with a 31 IV in attack, that a foul play will only do maximum 83% to an Alolan Raichu.
Wow.
Thank goodness, it'll survive.
You are Life Orb, so every little bit counts.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong.
So that gives you like maybe one extra attack.
At zero, you get an extra 10%. So yeah, it's an extra attack.
That's an extra attack. And then still on the speedy side, we have Choice Scarf Pheromosa, because you want to go really, really fast. It's got Beast Boost, max attack, max speed, 4 special defense, but it's adamant nature, because it has a scarf. It's got Close Combat, Throat Chop, U-Turn, and one of those really cool moves, which is the coolest, because it comes from Figure Skating, Triple Axel.
Yuri on Ice, the Pokemon. All right, so the two weirdest members on this team that make no sense are at the bottom. The first one being Avalug, because Avalug is an Avalug, and it still actually suffers a lot of the problems the rest of this team does, which is none of them like Zacian, which turns out to be the most popular legendary Pokemon to be using in Battle Stadium singles right now. Like, by far. It's not even close. Yeah. It's like Zacian. Zacian's like something like 30-40% usage. It's absolutely
it's
disgusting.
Still less that Landorus Therion used to have in OU, so
OU is like 40%.
It.
The one that was always a problem was actually Incineroar. Incineroar hit 90% usage in VGC at one point.
What?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was disgustingly high.
That's insane.
It hit, yeah, because like you were either playing VGC with an Incineroar or not playing VGC for a little while.
Wow.
So Avalug, this is holding a cut sap berry, which is my favorite berry. Because it's so silly. It's so silly.
Custap berry Avalug. I never thought I'd see the day.
Custap berry is incredibly silly because you have sturdy. So what can happen is after you're reduced to 1 HP, the berry can pinch and then you'll end up going first with priority the next turn.
Yeah.
Which is amazingly fun. So yes. Cut Sap is amazing. I used to use it in 1v1 metas with Aggron.
Mm.
This is essentially like budget Aggron, but ice type. So you have a bit more coverage. So you can like body press or you can click recover, stuff like that. because he does a sturdy, he's got 252 HP, 252 defense, 4 speed. Body press is probably going to do like a good amount because his defense stat's actually pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
Like 187 or something stupid.
Yeah, and Mirror Coat's there to like just destroy any like special sweeper that might come in on you. It'll just absolutely wreck you.
It'll work nicely too because Avalug's never in usage, so people probably don't know it has that move.
Yeah.
Exactly. Cursola also has like no usage, so this is another one that's a lot of fun. So it's got a focus sash so that you can get your weak armor procs.
Oh gosh.
Which is stupid fun. So weak armor, for those of you uninitiated, if you get hit, your defense goes down a stage, but your speed goes up 2 stages. And you have 4 defense, 252 special attack, 252 speed, modest nature, shadow ball, burning jealousy, which we'll get to, I think is the best tech on this team, ice beam, and endure. And so the idea here is you get your Cursola in and you let it take a hit. And you can do whatever move you want. Like, it's probably a Landorus or something. This helps you take out Lando. You can go and you can Ice Beam your Lando. Probably knock it out. And you're at plus 1. Something else comes in. You can click Endure. Survive with 1 HP again. Get the weak armor boost. So now you're at plus 4 speed, which is thankfully now faster than a Zacian.
It did it. It was tough, but it got there.
Yeah, which is faster than a Zacian. And you hope that the Zacian comes in when you're faster than the Zacian. And you click Burning Jealousy because Burning Jealousy's power doubles?
No, it burns. It burns.
Oh, it automatically burns a Pokemon that comes in and it gets a stat boost that turn, which his stuff does. Which his Zacian's ability does, Intrepid Sword. So you can get like an auto burn on a Zacian.
It's amazing.
It's a fun little piece of tech, and I think it's cute. I like it a lot. But yes, keep that in mind. It's going to be a lot of fun. Just play around with this team. I wish I would have seen this before UTC teams locked in.
Yeah, I would have ran this Cursola.
I would have ran the whole team just for fun. Just for fun. But yes, if you want to play it like we do, you can check it out over on the Discord server. And it looks like it's going to be an absolute blast. On that note, though, we are going to take we'll kick it on over to the mailbag. So let's do that. Over to the mailbag.
It's mail time! Send in your emails! Mail!
And welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag, as always, is the part of the show where you can send in your emails to us, and we'll read them on the show. PucklePodcast@gmail.com. We really appreciate it. This week, I guess we would ask you... what your what if for Pokemon would be. It'd be a lot of fun. I just want to hear what are some things that you think might be interesting to think about in the Pokemon world? Things that you don't have good answers for, or you think you might have good answers for. Please send that us in. And let's see. Yep. This segment, as always, is brought to you by our sponsor, our very fictional sponsor, by the way. Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves. Well, I couldn't hold it that well.
We'll give the Green Tauros badge to other people, to somebody that might be might not have it and wrote a good email that sparked some good discussion. It gives you access to the Green Tauros club chat over on the Discord, and you get to be a cool hit member of an exclusive club. So let's jump on into it. Well, last week we asked you guys what you thought about Diamond and Pearl remakes and them being potentially very faithful to the original source material. And so this first one is going to be from, I guess, Tia this week.
All right. Tia writes, "Hey, Puckle. Let's see. Thatch, Pimigi, and Whimsicott. Yes, someone knows how to use the spreadsheet. It's me, Tia."
Honestly, just pins. Like, just click the pins. You can see it all the time. We have the spreadsheet.
It's always there.
Not everyone does it.
It's been there for 4 years now. Which is amazing.
I know. Anyway. "It's me, Tia. Lately, I have been cycling through some of the older episodes at work, more due to now having more hours." Oh.
I'm so sorry.
I hope they're paying you more, at least. That's not always a given.
Okay, it depends on how far you go back. It depends on what older episodes means, because like, people will be like, "Yeah, I'm listening to older episodes," and I get scared in my heart of hearts.
Yeah, and then they mean 300.
No, and then they're just like, "Yeah, I'm listening to a show from 2016. I'm like, "Oh, okay, we're fine. We're perfectly fine.
Yeah. She goes on, I think the funny thing about working more is I can spend more money on my hobbies now. That's good. But now less time to spend on them. Oh, yeah, it's the eternal conundrum. Oh, yes. Well, at least I can pay my bills. That's something.
That's a gray lighting to that cloud.
Yeah. I really have no more thoughts on the new games, as we all need more info on them. Speaking of which, I recently watched a blob of episodes where Yael talked about Pokemon folklore and doing a Create a Pokemon contest. That was a while back.
Yes.
So since you mentioned two extra Pokemon for 800...
900. It's 900, by the way. 900.
I decided to create two of my own. Oh my gosh, this is getting great. They are both Zarud siblings because I know Mojo Jojo is everybody's favorite Pokemon. This is already great, but it gets greater. The first one is Darud, like that song no one remembers the name of.
Sandstorm?
Yeah, that's the joke. Everyone knows it. Thatch. Even I know it.
I didn't know that was a joke.
I know it. It's literally everywhere on the internet.
Okay, well, Thatch gets a near home. Okay.
I'm super old, and I know that that's a thing. Anyway, Darude is a ground dark monkey that lives in the group's harsh, windy deserts. It, of course, makes sandstorms, and there will be a recurring joke where people ask what Pokemon it is. Darude will have a beefier stat spread. The signature move is Desert Blessing, which grants properties of mist and safeguard. Okay.
That's like the most tame OG Pokemon or like fan Pokemon I've ever seen. It's just like, because like that's the most reasonable concept I've ever seen. I'm not gonna lie.
I appreciate it so much.
Because it's just like, here's a move and it's completely underwhelming. And you're just like, yeah, that's 100% what they would do.
That's so plausible. Exactly. The second one is Garuda, like Garuda. Garuda is a flying dark monkey that lives in the foggy skies. Garuda is intended to be a mixed sweeper with low HP. Its signature move is Cloudy Pursuit, a combination of haze and not pursuit, but aura sphere. What?
Okay, I take back my praise. It's okay.
That was a bit random. And this completes the mythical Mojo Jojo trio. Hope you all stay safe and catch on the flip-flop, Tia. Oh my goodness.
I love Tia. I love Tia.
This is amazing.
It was a good email. I like that one a lot.
Yeah.
Not Pursuit, but Aura Sphere. You know what? Aura Sphere is probably more balanced than Pursuit would have been. So I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll take it. All right. Our next email this week we're going to read is going to be from The Bionic Why Not. Hello, all. Bionic Why Not here. Sorry that I have been not sending emails. I'm finally getting my house. Ooh, that's exciting. It's been a year and 3 months. I could literally have had a child by now. Took him long enough, but anyway. Howdy do. Well, you could have had a child like in any 9 month span. Like I could have had a child while I was in college. I don't know. That's a weird thing to say.
Yeah, but if you're like, you kind of need the house to put the child in.
Yeah, no, that would be good. Like homeless children, not a good thing. No bueno.
Yeah.
Howdy do. Hope you're all doing well. Here to share my opin onions with the world of Puckle. People under cool liaisons. I like that. That's what Puckle stands for now. Puckle and people under cool liaisons. Not the People's Union of Civil Liberties. Now to the topic at hand. Faithful remakes, yay or nay? Ahem. Platinum was technically my first game. A $4 steal on eBay. So I'm a Gen 4 boy. Where did you get Platinum for $4? How did that happen? It's got to be fake, right?
Yeah, probably.
They are my favorite games and contain a lot of my favorite Pokemon. I personally think a faithful remake wouldn't do it justice. I think it needs something to show that the times have changed. Mega Evolution would be great for that purpose. Cynthia has her ace able to be Mega Evolved, and that would make it for a harder challenge. Actually not, because it turns out that Mega Garchomp is worse than regular Garchomp.
Yeah.
But okay, whatever. That's like one of the few Megas that makes it Pokemon worse.
To be fair, in competitive, your Pokemon are always going to have 31 IVs in speed.
That's true.
And that's max true. EVs. And in game, probably not.
Well, you can over level. I think it drops
if
it significantly.
Over-level,
I think it drops it like 10
everything.
Base points. Mega Garchomp drops a lot.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Mega Garchomp drops a lot. Although it's speed pace points drop, and that's kind of the hard, its hardest part. Yes, the 1,000%. That just means that the tricks you used in the old days won't work. So you might think of new countermeasures. My new countermeasures would just be like bring an ice type.
Yep.
It would still be faster. New megas probably won't happen. We must face it. Well, you'd have to have new Pokemon. So that's not going to happen. Like your best hope for BDSP is that we get Gen 4 national decks. Like that's your best hope. However, new regional forms are still an option. Electric poison Durant, anybody? No.
That was deep.
That was a deep dive. Regional forms for Pokemon could expand the decks to about 500. No. Assuming they use Platinum decks. Actually, like we said last week, they don't miss that many Pokemon, even in Diamond and Pearl. Like, I think the only Pokemon that I would say they must have that they miss in just OG Diamond and Pearl are Tangela and Tropius.
Yeah.
Which is very surprising and very odd misnomers, especially with the Tangela, since they gave it an evolution.
Yeah, that one was really weird.
Electric Scyther still sounds awesome.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Another island would be cool, just a little one, like Iron Island, like Half Moon Island. I think that's
I'm actually excited to rummage through Iron Island again. That was a fun little side adventure.
Dude, everything in Diamond Pearl's good, minus the HP bar speed.
Blissey!
Minus HP bar speeds. Anyway, that's all my idea. I think a faithful remake is fine, but I would prefer some changes. Well, it's been fun. That Bionic Why Not is blasting off again. Yep, it's a good time. Thank you for that, Bionic Why Not. Our last email this week is going to be from Connor.
Yeah, and I've got that one. Hey, everyone. Connor here. I have recently gotten back into playing Pokemon after a few months away, all thanks to listening to the mini Puckle podcast episodes over the past week. The insightful discussion Thatch and his excellent co-hosts bring to the table is both inspiring and motivating to play a game in a franchise I have loved since I was a tiny human, aka a child. I think the remakes for Diamond and Pearl are a little too faithful. Judging by how they look, they could have just ported the DS games to the Switch. After seeing them go back to the chibi art style, I don't feel comfortable spending full price of £50 on the game as I would have if it was using the Switch style, for example. Personally, the only thing that would get me to pre-order one of these games at full price would be if they added Mega Evolution to them. You know, them starters could definitely do with a Mega upgrade, and could you imagine a Mega Gliscor? I actually think Mega Gliscor may not be as good, unless he can...
Yeah, I would totally see Mega Gliscor being worse than regular Gliscor. I could 100% see that.
He's just supposed to be a sponge for status and knockoffs. That's his job. And then being a huge old wall.
Yep. I can totally see Gliscor, though, just being Mega Gliscor being worse than regular Gliscor. And that sounds like the perfect candidate to give a Pokemon a Mega Evolution.
Yep. Yep. On a side note away from the topic, I have never played Pokemon competitively, and after listening to some of your episodes, I decided to give it a shot. I had no idea what you guys meant by the term Trick Room. It's fair to say that after that silly smoking fire turtle known as Torkoal single-handedly destroyed me in my first battle, I now have an idea of what this Trick Room is. haven't had another battle since, gone away to research some different strategies. I did see him popping around in competitive doubles asking some things.
Oh, did he?
So I think,
oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so he's keeping at it.
That was my suggestion. That was going to be my suggestion. Come here and talk to P. McKee.
Yeah. Well, probably not me right now. I am out of touch with doubles until I get going with you, or PFTT.
PFTT.
But I'll be back in force with my Jigglypuff very soon.
J-Poof.
Anyway, too much to discuss in one email. I'll be sure to send another one in again at some point. Catch you on the flip-flop, Connor.
I think I'm going to run the J-Poof team. I'm jelly.
It's such a fun team.
I'm jelly.
I have something even stupider that I found on YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Can it beat Zacian?
Oh my gosh.
It might.
Okay, so with that said, this is gonna be it for our emails this week. Green Tauros badge, before I forget, I've forgotten like last week as well, and ooh, I want to make sure that we give it. Do we want to give it to Connor? I'm for giving it to Connor.
He's
showing up.
Yep,
Connor, you get the Green Tauros badge. Talk to us. We'll give it to you. All right. On that note, that's going to be it for this week's show. If you want to keep up with Puckle throughout the week, you tell your cat to get off the microphone. And then, which is what I just had to do. He was loving on the microphone. And you go ahead and you go over to Puckle's Discord server, which is the best way to keep in touch with us. The link to jump into that is in the show notes, as always. You can also go ahead and follow us on social media over on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Tumblr. You can also keep up with us throughout the week on YouTube at youtube.com/PucklePodcast, where P. McGee shows up.
Yes.
And does the Pokemon of the Battle episodes with Claude. I love both of you. You guys do such a good job on that.
We've been going strong with it.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And then we also might have the Soul Silver Nuzlocke over there this week, if not next week. So keep your eyes peeled for that. And then if you want to hang out even more, you can go over to Twitch at twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast, where I stream on Tuesdays. I don't think we have anybody signed up for this Thursday. I might take it. I haven't decided.
Yeah, this Thursday is usually the open slot every month. We don't usually have a good...
I might take it. I had an idea of doing a new Nuzlocke type where people can donate and force me to release Pokemon.
Oh.
And just make it absolute madness.
Are you sure?
Yes. If not, we might do the one where the one that Orange did not too long ago, where there's crowd control. I kind of want to do something crazy.
Wow.
We'll see. I just want to like try it. I want to see how it goes. So I think that's it on those regards. If you want to help support the show, you can do so in a couple different ways. First and foremost, you can just go to Patreon, patreon.com/PucklePodcast, drop a few dollars there. That's where we're going to start dropping that new podcast that I want to do very soon. I was going to record it this week, but then I totally forgot that the day I set up the recording was my birthday. not because I forgot my birthday was coming up, but because the like dates and days never line up in my head. Like I never go, oh yes, this Wednesday is going to be the 17th, right?
Mm-mm.
I always go, yeah, this is Wednesday, so let me plan my week. And then I'll walk into the week and I'll be like, oh yeah, that date is actually that day. And then like I make the correlation the day of, and I'm like, okay, makes sense. Time's a construct.
Mm-mm.
And so that's what happened. Or those episodes would have already, we would already had like the first like month worth of episodes done. So that's unfortunate. So I'm hoping to get that recorded this week, but that's going to be a new Patreon thing because Patreon's going to get reorganized a little bit. I think the way we're going to handle it is $5 is no longer going to get you a Pokemon distribution, but access to that new podcast.
Yeah.
And then $10 will do Pokemon giveaways. And I think I'm going to change the Pokemon giveaways. I haven't quite decided yet, but keep a lookout for that. Keep a lookout. Patreon's going to restructure just like a wee bit. So, oh, you can also go to Twitch. If you have a Twitch Prime subscription, you can just drop it there. We appreciate it. Also, and I always forget this, and I will not forget it this time, Puckle Plus exists. You guys can go over there, listen to Battlecast. I was on the last two of them. I've done twice my annual Puckle Plus appearances. And you can go see Battlecast. You can see TCG Cast. You can also go check out Game Corner. And like I said, Trivia Rewind if you want more Puckly goodness there in terms of trivia. Yay. So I really appreciate all that. If you check all those things out. And I guess that's everything. So I've been Trainer Thatch.
I have been the Fluffiest Whimsicott.
And I have been Pete McGee.
Here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.